Our scripture reading this morning is Psalm 121. Psalm 121. Listen now to this word the Lord speaks to us. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper, the Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil, he will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. May the Lord bless this reading and our hearing of his word this morning. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we are still at the threshold of a new year of our Lord, this year 2022, it's good, I think, that we give our attention to the wisdom and the perspective that we may have as pilgrims. You know that one of the predominant metaphors in the scriptures for God's people, and this is true not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament, is that we are a people on the way. We are people who are traveling along, as the Apostle Peter says in his first epistle to the elect of the dispersion, the exiles. We're on our way to a new and better country, to use the language of the author of Hebrews. And like Abraham, like Moses, and like all of God's people, even under the old covenant, we look for a city that has foundations whose builder and maker is God. Now, you know that when you are a traveler, that was even true in the congregational prayer this morning, some of our members are traveling either away or back to this area. You need to pray that God would provide us them traveling mercies. And Psalm 121 is a traveler's song. It's a pilgrim song of ascent. It's a psalm that the children of Israel, as they would make their way at the three great annual festivals up to Jerusalem, to Mount Zion, they would sing these songs as they traveled along. And I believe that Psalm 121 provides some of the most beautiful assurance that you'll find anywhere in Scripture, that the God who is for us in Jesus Christ, he will travel with us and provide us mercies as pilgrims from the beginning of our journey until we're all the way home. Now, this psalm is sometimes called the Traveler's Psalm because David Livingstone, I don't know if you know that story, when he was going to embark on his great missionary journey to the continent of Africa, he invited his family and friends, and he said, "Let's sit together and read the Word of God, Psalm 121. And let's ask the Lord that he would provide me and those who go with me traveling mercies." Psalm 121 is a particularly beautiful song in my life because it was the wedding text of my elder sister. And I had the privilege, when she died relatively young, of preaching at her funeral from Psalm 121. Though her journey was not a long one, we could be confident together as believers that God kept her coming and going and kept her until the end and brought her safely home. You know, we live in a world that is secular, a world that is godless, is what the word secular means, where many of our fellow citizens and neighbors have no such comfort as that which is given us in Psalm 21. I was reading recently on vacation a book by the great American author Ernest Hemingway. You know what Ernest Hemingway's perspective on life was? On one occasion he said, "Life is a dirty trick. It comes from nowhere and it goes nowhere." Sort of reminds me of the well-known saying of the great playwright Shakespeare, "All the world's a stage, And all men and women at various points make their entrances and their exits, and they all play their part. A tale told by, pardon my language, it's his, an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Can you imagine that? That those who are outside of Christ, who don't know the gospel word of God's grace in Christ, that's ultimately all that they can say. Now let's consider together the traveling mercies of which Psalm 121 speaks. You know, the psalm begins with a kind of prologue. It says, I lift my eyes to the hills. And commentators say that's probably a reference to as the children of Israel made their way up to Mount Zion, to the city of Jerusalem, the holy temple, for worship. They saw the mountains where there were these high places. And I trust even the boys and girls know that those are associated with the location of the worship of Israel's neighbors of, in the high places, the false gods. I look up, says the child of God, and I see the hills, and I ask myself, where is for me my help? Where does it come from? My help comes from the Lord. And there's something you need to know about the language of Lord in Psalm 121. It's the covenant name of the God who is steadfast in his love toward his people, who is faithful in respect to all the promises that he has made to her. In the language of the New Testament, it's the name of God, who is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom all of God's promises, says the Apostle Paul, have their yes and their amen. This God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he alone is our help. He is the almighty maker of heaven and earth, and he has tethered his power to my protection, my safekeeping as I travel along. Now, there are three further stanzas in Psalm 121, and we'll focus on those as we go along through the psalm that speak of features of God's traveling mercies, of God's keeping his people in their pilgrim journey. The first stanza you find in verses 3 and 4 speak of God's constant vigilance. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. The next stanza, verses 5 and 6, speak of God's personal protection. He is your singular keeper. And then lastly, it culminates in verses 7 and 8 with the assurance, not simply of God's constant vigilance, his personal protection, but his never-failing, all-embracing love and mercy. Let's begin with the first, God's constant vigilance. The psalmist speaks very beautifully and simply in verses 3 and 4. He says, he will not let your foot be moved. Now you might read that and think that's a reference to he won't allow your toe to be stubbed or anything to befall you in the whole course of your life that would be, as we say, an adverse providence. I'll never be ill. I'll never have trouble. On a flowery bed of ease, as the hymn writer puts it, I'll be brought to glory. Well, no, if you read the psalm in its context with the other songs of ascents, the psalmist was a realist. He knew very well that there were dangers on the outside and within. And there were not a few troubles and adversities that would confront him within God's providence on his way. But the idiom, he will not let your foot be moved, aims to say, in all of those circumstances, whatever they may be, bright with promise, dark with foreboding perplexity. He will not allow any circumstance to overtake you so as to wrest you from his protection, so as to undo your believing trust in his grace and never failing mercy. But then he uses a very lovely image. He says, he will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Now, maybe there are some clever catechumens here this morning, would-be theologians, who would rebuke the psalmist and say, well, I never imagined that God would fall asleep at the wheel, that the eternal God, ever living, perfect in power, being, and glory, that he would have to take a nap, that he would be for a season inattentive. But I don't know, brothers and sisters, do we always have the confidence and the assurance that God's eye is not only on the sparrow, but his eye is always upon you? He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows your circumstance, and he is vigilant in keeping you, never slumbering nor sleeping. You know, as creatures, we do sometimes fall asleep at the wheel. We do sometimes find ourselves sadly in circumstances where we've taken the eye off the ball. Or either as a parent or as a grandparent, we were not as watchful 24/7 as we needed to be. And we may even have our regrets. I can remember there was a worker at the seminary, still works for the seminary. He and his wife, their firstborn child, like lots of little infants, didn't do well sleeping at night. And so he would come to the seminary often looking a bit bedraggled and a little sleepless, a little heavy around the eyeballs. One day he came to seminary with a bit of a spring in his step because their daughter, who was keeping them awake all night, had slept through the night. And I said, that's wonderful. I anticipate then you got a good night's rest. Oh, no, he said. My wife and I, every hour on the hour, even more often, were peeking in the door to see that our little one was okay. And you know how it is with grandparents, doting over their grandchildren. Well, the portrait here is of a father who never fails in Christ to be vigilant. He's been that way with you all the way along, however long your journey as a Christian has been, however many years, may still lie before you in this earthly pilgrimage. He will not slumber. He will not sleep. The one who keeps Israel is ever attentive to the needs, circumstances of his children. Now, the second thing the psalmist says is that he provides us this God who is ever vigilant, always watching, never slumbering nor sleeping, personal protection. Behold, the Lord is your keeper, the Lord is your shade on your right hand, the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Now, there's something you need to know here. This ties in with why the psalmist emphasizes that the Lord of the covenant is the maker of heaven and earth. He refers here to the sun striking you by day, the moon by night. And that's an allusion to the gods of the surrounding peoples of Israel, some of whom were the sun and the moon and other created agencies. You may say, well, that's superstitious. Well, we still have the word in English, lunatic, deriving from the word lunar, the moon. Strange things happen at night when the moon has its influence on you. Think werewolves. If God is the God of all creation, the maker, the sustainer, the superintendent, governor of all that you have it in your confession, who has foreordained all that shall come to pass, not some things, not a few things, but all things. How then? You know, it's really remarkable that the psalmist could speak with such confidence under the terms of the Old Testament economy. You might say, well, this is too good to be true, even for us. Well, what does Paul say in Romans 8? Don't you know, if God spared not his own son, what more could God do to demonstrate and confirm his resolute grace and mercy for us? If God spared not his own son, how will he not also with him give us all things? Will anything, past, present, or future, in heaven or upon the earth, sickness, persecution, trials, will any of these things separate us from God's love for us in Christ Jesus? Now, I use the word personal protection for a reason. One of the striking things about Psalm 121 is not, it doesn't speak abstractly. All the pronouns are in the first person or the second person singular. You singular. The Lord is your singular keeper. He keeps my coming and going. When you get a Reformed preacher, you get a reference to the Heidelberg Catechism, and the Heidelberg Catechism captures it very well when it asks the question, what is your only comfort in life and in death? And nobody answers for me. Nobody speaks for me. I speak together with others. I don't speak alone. It's not my personal in the sense of it's mine, no one else's, but I speak in the first person singular. My only comfort in life and in death is that I am not my own, but I belong body and soul, the whole of me, from top to bottom, side to side, inside and out, to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ, who has fully satisfied for all my sins. You know that language, the Lord is your shade on your right hand. The right hand is representative of a position of favor and of proximity. If I may use an analogy playing on the words, your shade on your right hand. I don't know whether any of the children here or you folk who are older remember playing the game I do as a young child on the playground, chasing one's shadow. Or alternatively, seeking to shake it off. You ever try that in the full sun of midday? Run as fast as you can across the school playground and you can't escape your shadow. This is not a foreboding image. It says God sticks closer to us than the closest of friends. He'll let no one snatch us out of his grip. You remember John 10, where the Lord says, I am the good shepherd. And how do we know he's the good shepherd, not a hireling? Well, he lays down his life for his sheep. And they know him. And he knows them by name. They're not a faceless crowd. They're not a company of persons, but not persons whom the Father in Christ, those whom the Father gives me, says the Lord Jesus Christ, whom I know and who know me, no one will snatch them out of my hand. I'm reminded in this connection of a time when I was assigned responsibility for the care and keeping of one of my grandchildren, the oldest. He was about 5 years of age, and we had two tickets to the Cubs game and no one wanted them, so I decided I'll take my grandson to the Cubs game. Someone suggested It's a good process to park in Chinatown, Chicago, take the train. That'll add to the adventure. And it was a big adventure for him. Although when we got to the game, by about the second inning, he wanted to get back on the train. Forget this ball game. It's going on and on. But more importantly, I'll never forget, I'd never taken the CTA, the train in Chicago before. As soon as we got to the train station, I realized, and I did a double take. This little boy, my youngest sister, is entrusted to Grandpa's care, is my responsibility. And this track has a 6-foot drop off. There's no gate because you can't get on the train if there's a gate. But there lie the tracks, and what do 5-year-olds do? They run unawares into danger. So I took his hand with such firmness, I think he said, ouch, if I'm not mistaken. I said to myself, I could not forgive myself if I don't keep a grip and care and keep this little one. And you know, grandparents, among other things, are noteworthy even more than parents for the way they dote, care about, and love those little grandchildren. Well, that doesn't begin to compare to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in Christ, by grace, adopts us into his family, indwells us of his Spirit, who abides with us forever. You don't think he's going to allow? Do you think he's going to allow anyone? The shade, he's your shade on your right hand, the sun or the moon or anything else in all creation to snatch you out of his hand? By no means. The last thing of which the psalmist speaks is this. He speaks of the Lord's not only constant vigil, the Lord's personal protection, but of the Lord's never-failing, all-embracing love. Notice how he ends. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. You know, when you think about traveling mercies, I'm not sure whether you're the sort of person, when you make arrangements for a trip, do you buy insurance? You can buy various kinds of insurance. Sometimes you can buy sort of partial insurance, or you can get the full insurance, which provides quote-unquote complete protection. Except there's probably a little small print somewhere in the description of the coverage that says something like, but for an act of God, or some other unanticipated, and we're not going to provide you protection there. Well, the beautiful thing for Christians who belong to God through Christ and are indwelt by the Spirit who abides with us forever. You know, the doctrine, so-called, of the perseverance of the saints is no more eloquently and lustrously set forth than it is here in Psalm 121. You may have your doubts. You may have your moments in times past, maybe in this year that's coming, that we've embarked upon. Along the way, as you travel along as a Christian, God has abandoned me. God has forsaken me. And I don't make light of that. The psalmist will sometimes speak of that. His sense of the absence of this Lord who keeps his people forever. But the beautiful thing about Psalm 121, and as you make your way along as Christians on your pilgrimage, I read some years ago a striking expression, we're all partway down the road. Some of us further, that includes me, than others. None of us know how far, but it all ends, so far as our earthly pilgrimage goes, in the same place, Death. Our last enemy. No more fearsome enemy. The author of Hebrews says the devil himself, all our life long, sought to keep us captive to the fear of death. But when the sting and the fear of death through the blood-bought and resurrected Christ is your assurance, you can go forward unafraid, confident, knowing that God's vigilance, His protection, His keeping has no statute of limitations. He's going to bring you, as I put it at the outset, to your eternal home. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. He is, after all, says the author of Hebrews, our Lord Jesus Christ, our forerunner. Beautiful language. He's gone before us into the Father's presence. And it is to Him that we are joined. He'll not leave us behind. He'll bring us all the way to where He is. There we will be also. Isn't that a great comfort for any pilgrim? Any Christian, throughout the whole course of their pilgrimage, until God brings them, you're going out and you're coming in from this time forth and forevermore. May God grant you, brothers and sisters, such confidence in God's never-failing traveling mercies. In this new year and all the years that may follow. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we acknowledge, Father, that the assurance of which the psalmist speaks seems too good to be true. Remind us how you've sealed these promises in your own Son, who shed His blood to purchase our redemption, who bought us at such a great price. He will not let anyone snatch us at any moment in our journey out of His hand, who has promised us that He will bring us to that place where He is, that He's preparing for us. May that give us great encouragement and perspective as we travel along. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.